Sex and happiness both enrich our lives, yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness. You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to another episode of Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. I love this show. I love doing this show. And, you know, every week I get sexier and happier. If I listen to the lessons that I gain on this show, and if you do, I can't imagine that you wouldn't come away sexier and happier every week. And they go hand in hand. So today is not an exception. I have a wonderful guest. And those of you who can see her on the screen can see that she's right here with me, and she's lovely. And if you can't see her, you'll have to take my word for it. Her name is Kamala Devi, and Kamala has been my guest before. She was my guest so long ago. It was when she was writing her first book, and so much has happened in her life since that time. She is an artist. She's a writer. She's a workshop facilitator. She's a star of television. She's a mother. She's a poster child for the world of polyamory. And there's probably things I'm leaving out, but we'll get to that. So it's my pleasure to introduce Kamala Devi. Kamala, thank you for being here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lori. And I want to take this opportunity to congratulate you on your book being an international bestseller now.
Thank you.
This is going big. Super exciting.
Thank you so much. I know. What a whirlwind. What a roller coaster ride. It's exciting. It's exciting to say I'm a best-selling author. Yay. International. So for you, I mean, you have some of that. You have some fame like that as well. I mean, you've starred in how many seasons? A 2 or 3 season HBO special?
Yeah. So Showtime produced a adult series, and it's what's called a docu-soap. So it had an element of reality to it, and meaning it was based in reality, but of course you take reality and you squish it into half-hour episodes, and it's definitely a glimpse at my life and my lovers here in San Diego, as well as another family in Los Angeles, and it's really following us into the intimate details of our relationship. And that's called Polyamory Married and Dating. And it was just a pleasure to get to tell a story that hasn't been told yet. You know, we were, I think, bold enough to speak for a silent minority. And people love and hate TV and drama. But regardless, I really feel like it was a pioneering practice to say we're willing to tell the truth about alternatives to monogamy.
Yes, and bravo to you, really. Hear, hear. It's real for you, and that's the thing that I love. Our theme today, what you and I are talking about, is vulnerability is the new strength. And to me, that's really what you're the poster child of. So you put your life not only on the line in organizing events like Polypalooza, which you do a couple times a year, mm-hmm. and you have conference calls where people can dial in and listen to you talk about subjects like jealousy, mm-hmm. and with Reid Mihalko, who says date your own species. And mm-hmm. I said that to my sister. My sister's exploring polyamory. She's listening to all the shows that I've done about it, and she said, what does that mean, date your own species? And my sister only dates women. My sister's a lesbian. So she said, does that mean I only date lesbians? I said, I don't think that's what he means. You know, maybe you could speak to that a little bit.
Sure. Reed's a dear friend of mine, and he's one of the Polypalooza teachers, and we together made a DVD called Earning Your Black Belt.
Right, I have it.
So good. Yeah, we had a ball just basically saying, here's some of the best practices in relationship. And one of the places where people make mistakes all the time, and Reed just calls people out on it, is they're trying to date somebody who has such different desires and lifestyles, are so radically incompatible that they end up spending like massive amounts of their life force trying to change somebody or grow or be something that they're not so that they can please their partner. And so he's like, stop it already. Just date your own species. And when you know who you are, mm-hmm. which again is our theme, we're going to talk about vulnerability. And part of that's saying, I'm going to show you who I really am, because that's more important than whether or not you like me. And you know who you are, you root yourself in that. You may find that people aren't going to date you, but those are the people that you don't want to be dating anyway. You want to be dating people who are in love with who you really are, not who you're pretending to be just to get their affection.
That's so right on. Yeah, why pretend or put a false front on yourself to please someone, and then it ends up not pleasing you? Like, that's not who you are. They're now in love with someone who's not real.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. You know, because when you come to a place in life where you're like, oh my gosh, I've been people pleasing all my life. Like, why am I doing that when I know that I'm sacrificing myself in the process? And these days, we're so fortunate to have the brain research who've really looked at how we're hardwired. And the neuroscience shows that we are absolutely wired for love and belongingness and security in our attachments. So it is, to some great degree, in order to be vulnerable and to be absolutely real in life, you're going against your not just programming, but you're going to some degree against your wiring. And we can rewire ourselves through, you know, disciplined practice, which is wonderful. But in the meantime, it's like the way our social brains developed is to get love and affection, because the alternative, you know, the thought of being excommunicated or being cut out activates our survival at a really deep level.
Yes.
And I thought I'd mention that because there's a lot of people who, you know, they do these personal growth courses, or they listen to us talking, and they're like, oh, well, that'd be nice to be authentic all the time or vulnerable. But, you know, and then they beat themselves up because they can't do it. And the truth is, it's a massive rewriting and re-scripting of not just your social programming, but your actual genetic programming.
It's a really good point, and I'm glad you make it, because people can stop feeling shame or blaming themselves or feeling like they're crazy or something because they do so much to get love.
Yeah.
The idea is, are you somebody who does want to reprogram yourself, and will it serve you and please you to live more authentically and true to your purpose, or will it please you more to get love? Like, which...
Yeah. And let's talk about that, because if you're going to climb that really steep mountain and you're like, all right, I want to rewire myself, how do I do it? Which, there's so many resources, like your book, you know, Sex and Happiness. There's resources out there for people to really, really tap into their authentic sexy. And I'm going to make this link. To me, truth is sexy.
Like, me too.
It's when somebody is in their full expression of their unique light, who they are in the world, they're irresistible. They're magnetic. It's like awe-inspiring to see somebody stand in their truth. So not only do you ultimately become more attractive, which is this great irony, right? Like, stop trying to get attraction, trying to make people attracted and love you, and start being who you are, and then you find you're more attractive to the people that really are like vibration. But the reason to do it is it's a deeper, sustaining happiness, not these passing pleasure of somebody's approval. The approval comes from, you know, a deeper source, a sense of like, oh, I've got integrity. I'm being in truth with myself and who I know myself to be.
Yeah, that's so well said. I mean, to me, that's always been my value. I mean, always. But I know that even though it was my value, it took a few years to get there. Mm-hmm. You know, it took a few sloughing off what my mother said, sloughing off what my father said, sloughing off what various people that were intimate in my life said. So I understand it's definitely
perfect
a process.
Metaphor. It's like a lotus because I don't even say that I'm there. Like, I look at it like this infinite unfolding, and we are taking off layers of what the church and the state and the school and even our best friends say, you know, and sometimes we're taking off layers of our sub-community. I remember the pain I went through when I came out as a lesbian, and I finally felt like, oh, I found my home. And then when I noticed that I had attraction for men, and I was like, oh, no, I'm not going to be accepted in my lesbian community. And I had to take off, like, the lesbian indoctrination in order to be the pansexual being that I am. But it is an unfolding that's infinite. There's no end to the inquiry, who am I and what is my truth? Because that truth is not a fixed destination.
Exactly. Exactly. This is good. So we now have some sense about what we're looking for here in terms of vulnerability as the new power, as the new sexy. The reason I asked you to be on the show today, and I really was pursuing you to be on the show today, was because I recently saw you at a conference where you revealed things about your life, which to many of us looks so wow.
Mm.
You know, like larger than life.
Yeah.
And then you revealed some challenges that you were going through. And you did it in an amazingly soul-searching kind of a way. So we're going to take a little break here. I'm just going to leave you at the edge of your chair for a second. I'm going to leave everyone at the edge of their chair. And we'll talk a little bit about how your life appears.
Sure.
And how you've built it.
You want to see what's behind the curtains, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Because I feel, to me, that really, again, that's your intrinsic beauty gets more beautiful and magnified the more you share some of the challenges with people. So if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness, and some of you are watching Sex and Happiness, and I'm interviewing Kamala Devi, who is an author, an artist, a mother, a creator of all kinds of possibilities, like Polypalooza, and has written a book, has made videos, and has starred on Showtime's The Polyamory, Married, and Dating. So you stay at the edge of your chair, and we'll be right back. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra is safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Laurie Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle, Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Lori Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
Okay, we're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Lori Handlers, your host, and I'm interviewing Kamala Devi. And where we left off, we were talking about the life that we can see from the outside.
Let me paint a picture for those who don't know me. I'm sitting in a beach house in sunny San Diego. I work from home as my husband, sells solar. We both do what we absolutely love, and we live with our 8-year-old son. We've been here for about a decade cultivating a garden of lovers, and I have a 4-year relationship with a really sexy vixen named Roxanne and her soon-to-be husband, so she's getting married, and his brother who I date, and about a dozen other lovers that have been in and out of our, circle for the last decade. And we all have high values for total transparency, for love, connection, sex positivity. And so that might be dinner parties, pujas. We're constantly just indulging and celebrating in the pleasures of life. And to make that all flow with the grace and the juice that it does, we also get together monthly and do some deep processes, including what's called the Zeg Forum. So they're personal growth, therapeutic processes. But we do these truth tellings that are fierce and painful, and we give each other permission to delve into jealousy and competition and all that shadow stuff, so that we can, hopefully clear it and move into more and more light. But that's just a picture of what my, ongoing regular life looks like when I'm not on stage and, sitting in my living room on my belly in front of a fireplace writing. I'm working on my fifth book right now. So, yeah. That's what people see, and then they're like you, Lori, they're like, how do you do it?
And it's more how do you pull that off?
Yeah. it takes a tribe. I love, being the leader that I am, I get a lot of the the glory for it. But the truth is, this would not be possible if I wasn't so met by really evolved individuals who've done a lot of their work. Mm-hmm. And I want to caution you, because a lot of people are like, okay, I've got some friends that I'd like to make lovers and like to start a little, commune or community with. But if those people haven't done immense amounts of work, when you bring a lot of people together, it might be more process and a downward spiral with more people. But if you have people who are really committed to love and truth and have congruent values, then what happens is the more people you get, it's an upward spiral. The more people you get of that quality and capacity, and they have to be not just capable, but willing, to do that kind of work. And so, I'm going to be honest, it takes a certain discernment on who you want to synergize with.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, discernment is a key word. I mean, discernment is a word that everyone should learn over and over again in the English language. What does it mean? It means doing due diligence when you're going to purchase a business or enter a franchise or start your own business or whatever it is. People do due diligence, and that's the discerning work that it takes to crunch the numbers, write a business plan, do all these things before you make the decision, I'm moving forward with this. And oftentimes when hormones and chemicals and like attraction and oxytocins are running through the brain and pushing cocktails into their brain, it's very hard to be discerning.
Absolutely. And most people who are into open relationship, you know, they bust out of the monogamous paradigm and they say, or even if you're just, you know, tantric, like, okay, I don't want to be in the vanilla world anymore and I'm wanting to pursue spiritual sexuality, and they bust out of the mainstream and then they say, ooh, you're tantric too? Game on. And like, all it needs is, they're just looking for someone at that kind of entry level of, do we have, you know, enough in common, and you're hot, so there's chemistry, and then they try to make that be the discerning factor about who they start relationship with. And what we found is that the only sustainable criteria by which to build a family of choice is deep values. You know, are your values aligned? And the truth of our community is that it's not even, do you live within the vicinity? Like, we have lovers all over the world, and their tribe, their family, and we may not see them all the time, but they share values so deep and core to who we are that if I don't see them for 5 years, when I see them next, we pick up and we know one another.
So that's great. So give us an example of some of these values, because this is a really hot tip for people, even if they're going to be in monogamy.
Yes.
Even if they're going to just be in a relationship for a year.
Yeah.
To make it a good year, you have to have the same values.
Well, I love that you're pointing out that this isn't just for polyamory. Polyamory is like a relationship style. It's a form of a relationship, but
Right. It's
not necessarily, I mean, you know, people can be polyamorous for a couple of years and then be monogamous or be celibate. You know, you can change your relationship style, but deep values are much deeper than the what your relationship looks like on the outside or who you're fucking.
Yeah.
The value, first and foremost, is this, like, truth, love. And love is, you know, it has different qualities for different people, but this is often about kindness and caring. And the value for freedom. Now, freedom must always be tempered with security. And this is a violent conflict in most people. You know, you'll get any two people together, two or more. And in relativity, one person is going to be more, oh, I'm a free spirit. I want more variety, more adventure, more, you know, they have more freedom. And then what'll happen is the other person will be like, oh, that's scaring me. I want more security. I want more reassurance or stability or structure. And that even happens in, you know, my 13-year marriage. You know, there'll be times when he wants more security and I want more freedom. And then there'll be times when vice versa. But the point is that the value for freedom is about a deeper liberation. And that also means I want this person to be in their full expression. Mm-hmm. And the biggest difference, in my opinion, between old school values and like the new paradigm values is love is wanting for another, not wanting from. Unfortunately, you know, even our parents are conditioned to like, oh, you're dating a new person? Well, how much do they make? And do they come from a good family? And what are they going to offer you? And like the old school is a dowry. Oh, well, you know, love is this exchange where you give and you get from each other.
Yes.
The liberation comes from, oh, there's no vending machine in love. Love is about expressing and wanting for and giving and caring. And even if at times that person's full expression comes from sources that aren't, you know, like you, and you have to be secure enough in your sense of self to not need to be the only source of someone else's happiness.
That's well said, and it's very powerful. I mean, just to take that in, it's really, really powerful. And I could see that's where the challenges come in. If I'm wanting for another rather than from the other, and I want for that other, they get to determine how they get their pleasure, how they get their freedom, how they get their adventure, how they get their whatever floats their boat.
Right.
And I can't say I have any control over that.
Right. And we don't have any control. Control is an illusion, but I want to say this because a lot of times poly and enlightened tantric relationships look good on paper, but in practice they're a disaster. And why is that? Okay, well, yeah, in theory we have no control. In practice, we have limited capacities. And so if my husband, for example, and my husband loves the hedonism of a swingers cruise, or, you know, like his full expression is like really wild and free. And sometimes I'm like, whoa, that's a lot for me, right? I do want for him. I want his full expression. And I have a limited capacity for processing or blessing or releasing, you know, my needs of him.
Mm-hmm.
And in partnership with him, we're willing to work on that. Like, hey, I'm growing to give you more freedom. And this is honestly, and this is the vulnerable part, this is my honest capacity of how much I can stretch and grow and give. And the vulnerable part is, it's not, I'm going to shame you and blame you and control you, but it's, I'm going to notice that I have fear underneath it, and I'm going to share with you, I'm just afraid of losing you. You know, when I see you with all those, you know, hot boob, big boobed women and, you know, playing in this party, like, I start wondering, am I enough for you? You know, I start getting nervous that, you know, maybe I'm unlovable. Could you reassure me? Could you stay with me? Maybe spend extra time with me? You know, what responsible requests can I make so that I can regain my confidence and then be in an honest place to give you more permission?
That's super. And it's so real. And it's so moment by moment by moment. Because you don't want to also be a drag. Right. Like, if you're going to go on a swingers cruise, you don't want to be like, you know, pulling his suspenders back, you know, and holding like that at the same time. Oh my God, what did I just agree to?
Yeah, and you know, a swingers cruise is, you know, not appropriate for some. Be like, wow, I don't want to be on a boat, and I'm, you know, like, you have to really look at wow, is it appropriate to go to this party? Am I really ready for that? Nobody wants to be a drag. But what really kind of tempers that is a knowing of yourself, knowing of your own reactions, and not, oh God, this is what I need. I'm teaching myself here. You know, I'm just talking to myself. Not sharing from reaction. Because we are human, and someone's going to take an action, and we're going to have a reaction. But like, can we clear the charge and then come to that person from a place where we are vulnerable? And oftentimes when we're in reaction, vulnerability is super hard to access. It's more like, well, screw you then. Like, I don't even want to see you. Sleep in the other room. You know, like, that's not vulnerability, but those are the things that come up.
Yeah. Well, for some people, anger comes first. For other people, falling apart.
Yeah.
Comes first. So we're going to take a little break here. When we come back, recently when I saw you, there were three things that you said. You gave like three big key tips to people. I hope you remember what they are. I think I remember two of them.
You bet.
So let's go there, because I want us to end this interview with like this power pack punch for the people listening, because they really come to this show looking for how they can put this in their lives.
Great.
Okay? So we'll be right back. You are listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers. I'm with Kamala Devi today. And it doesn't get much better than this. I really want you to know, because I know you have these questions all the time when I interview people. How am I going to pull this off? And you're just getting such richness today. Stay tuned. We're coming back with a power punch for the end.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lati Han, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lati Han today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lati Han CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
Hey, do you want to deepen your intimacy while being on the perfect vacation? I'm talking about an all-inclusive vacation with a nude beach, a prude beach, and an exceptional nightlife and plenty of entertainment. And there's so much more. In really fun classes every day, I will take you deeper and deeper into couples sensuality, into intimacy and enhanced communication as the week progresses. I also will offer private or semi-private sessions by appointment. I'll offer sessions in sex magic, G-spot stimulation, female ejaculation, and men's ejaculation choice. These are all topics that can be covered. When? October 10th to 17th, 2015. Where? Hedonism 2 Resort in Negril, Jamaica. For more information or to book your room, call Tom's Trips at 800-285-0853. That's 800-285-0853. Please book now. I can't wait to be with you in Jamaica. You're listening to Sex and Happiness. This is Lori Handlers, and we're back. And I'm just finishing up this wonderful interview with Kamala Devi. And what I've asked her to do was recap something that I heard her say recently. She likes to give. It's a great communication skill anyway to give three tips at the end of a talk. And I think this has been very powerful. If you had the ears to hear what we've already talked about, you're already ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about discernment, we talked about integrity, we talked about being vulnerable and also honest, like taking the plunge, but also keeping tabs on where you're at every step of the way. So now we're going to finish up with three things that Kamala can really deliver to you to help you, no matter what you're choosing in terms of your relationship configuration and in terms of your life. And believe me, these things are going to come in handy. So Kamala, can you recap those for us, what they were?
Absolutely. You know, this message, the single first thing I'm going to say is integral to every talk I've ever given, every book I've ever written, everything I do, because it's so core to the pursuit of enlightenment. You know, if we are to make the most of this life and be as alive as we can be, then we must root ourselves in who we are and be true to that. And so it's essentially like, no matter what the peer pressure is or the programming, a deep inquiry inward to say, what is my truth? And a willingness to put that before everything. You know, and that very truth might lead you out of a relationship that's dysfunctional. It might lead you away from your parents who raised and took good care of you. It might lead you into places that you think is absolute crazy wisdom. But there is no sustaining realization or happiness if you're not being true to yourself first.
So true. I got the chills when you're talking about that. So I know that's true for me.
Yay! You got truth bumps, right?
Yeah.
What's powerful is when you know who you are, as I mentioned, you start to attract people around you who are similar frequency.
Right.
And this is where you get an upgrade in your community. And the second point I want to give people is having a community can enhance your, it's almost like you get to live multiple times through all the people you love. Mm-hmm. And you get a peer review, like they're looking out for your shadows. You know, you will grow faster in community than, you know, than anywhere. And so what I want for people is to value, to start to, you know, say, okay, well, how can I prioritize and emphasize and build those relationships and deepen those relationships and have it be a community of truth tellers so that you have a conscious agreement that, hey, we're going to practice being ourselves in this group, and that means if somebody's out of integrity, we're going to call each other on your shit.
Exactly.
And we're going to work together to grow together. So, you know, I really want that for people, because when you have that personal growth, then it takes the limits off what's possible romantically. You know, even if you're absolutely monogamous, even if, you know, Tantra is completely new to you, just having a deep group of friends that are willing to speak the truth to you is in and of itself a spiritual practice.
Amen. Absolutely. I'm in a community, a deliberate community, and it doesn't have anything to do with polyamory. I'm in an immortal community. Mm-hmm. But we do that in the immortal community. So that's part of the reason that was the draw for me. Mine just happens to be focused on living forever and sometimes loving. I mean, that is like not exactly the same.
I love it. I'm glad. And, you know, what a blessing that you have that so fully.
We have a lot of people in my community who have been lovers, and they're not lovers anymore. And in most places, the people would leave.
Mm-hmm.
But in our community, people don't leave each other. They're holding each other accountable to live.
Yeah.
So we stay and we work it out.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah. And your third point?
I want to offer a practice.
Okay.
For your listeners. As a come from, I think everybody knows, like, oh, positive thinking, being positive. There's a general orientation towards love and light, and there's a moving away from shadow and challenge. But the practice is this positive inquiry. So very simply, part of building a loving community is being able to see the brilliance and the God force in each person you surround yourself with, and like giving them that feedback in your particular lovers. And that's, I know a lot of people listening to this are like, give me some relationship advice. What about my relationship? And honestly, if you fix your attention on the beauty of your beloved, whether they're in your life or not, and you just really see the God force of the person you're out on a first date with, or the person you're, in my case, you know, married to for 13 years, more problems and challenges will fall away just by nature of you expanding the beauty of them than any personal growth work course book that you read. And so what I want for you is to look for the amazing things to adore and admire and appreciate, and make it your practice to be a shower of that appreciation. Not just because, oh, it's going to come back to you in that way, but by filling yourself with that as your attention, that's what's going to expand in your life.
Absolutely. Beautiful. And so, that's really, it's just really valuable. You're right. And that's really all people want. All people want is to be gotten for who they are and appreciated for who they are and seen. And so all that's a demonstration of seeing someone in their sheer beauty. Yeah, and their contributions. Great, Kamala. How would you like people to get in touch with you if they were to get in touch with you, or what do you want to focus them on? What do you want them to look up about you so they can find out your talent?
Sure. Well, I have a number of free gifts that I'd like to offer.
Okay.
And that is on my website, kamaladevi.com. So if you go to KamalaDevi.com and you sign up for my newsletter, you'll get an immediate library of, we've got tantric terms on there, we've got a polyamory roadmap. These are like free gifts that are like $9 on Kindle right now, so you might as well take advantage of that. And then that way we can stay in touch. So send me an email, tell me you heard the show, and let's see if we can, how else I can serve you in time to come.
All right, let's spell it for them. So just in case somebody doesn't know how to spell
Kamala. KamalaDevi, KamalaDevi.com.
All right, that's great. That's wonderful.
So I have one last message, Lori.
What?
I want to end this interview by showering you with a bit of appreciation.
Oh, God.
I see you as such a tremendous gift to the world. I just love your dedication to enlightening people, waking them up. I love how creative you are, that you are at the service of this amazing muse that moves through you in so, like, multidimensional art, not just your radio show and your book, but like, oh my gosh, you're writing screenplays and you've got reality shows underway, and I just love what a creative goddess you are.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, the truth is, if I didn't do all that stuff, I'd be bored. You know what I mean? It's just like, things just keep moving. I go, I can do that. What should I do? You know, I love it. I thank you. I love my life. I never fantasized my life being like this, and my life is just like the best. I get to live this great life. I get to interview people like you and hang out. Yeah, I feel like I'm being educated by the best, and I feel like I'm just giving it back.
Yeah.
You know, as one of the best. So I love it. It's what you said. It's like, if I find out my true north, then I'm going to get to stay true to it and hang out with people who are true to theirs. And really, that's all I want.
Hallelujah. Love it.
Thank you.
Love it. Namaste.
Namaste. So everybody, tune in next time to Sex and Happiness, when I'll have another amazing guest that will shift your life and make you sexier and happier. This is Lori Handler signing off. Bye.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Oh.